Our passage this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord. Come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me, and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. As the reading of God's holy word, you may be seated. This is obviously a passage from the later part of the prophecies of Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied somewhere between 740 and 680 B.C., perhaps at this time, a little bit later in that period, a time when only the kingdom of Israel that remained, the only kingdom of Israel that remained at that time was the southern kingdom of Judah. Israel had already gone the way of the world and had been judged by God through Assyria, and Judah was quickly on the heels of Israel, the northern kingdom, and Babylon, with God's judgment, was waiting in the shadows. And as we think about this passage today, as we think about what was going on at that time with God's people, and as we think about that, it's not all that different with things that are going on today with God's people, with people who call themselves God's people, who think that they believe in God and they are doing service to God and they are worshiping God, and are not. In this sense, this passage is a timeless passage of timeless truth. It is a gospel passage. The gospel preached to Israel in the Old Testament, the same gospel preached to you today from the Scriptures, concerning the same problem. And so keep that in mind as we pass through this passage. As we think about these things, we'll give just a little bit of context as going back into the history. But the point I want to stress to you today is that if you haven't believed the gospel, God's way, you haven't believed the gospel at all. And so this word comes, this word from God comes to, through Isaiah to the people of God. As I said before, as the northern kingdom was fast on the way of forsaking God and despising the Holy One of Israel, they had corrupted their worship and they had morally bankrupted their society. And yet, if you would have told them that they were doing these things, and that what they were doing was wrong and it was opposed to God's way, they would have said the same thing that you hear today. For many, many people who call themselves Christians even. You would have heard them become defensive. You would have heard them deny what you were saying. You have heard them vehemently assert their genealogy as the children of Abraham and their belief in the scriptures and the oracles of God and their loyalty to God, just as they did when Isaiah warned them of these things. By not listening and insisting on their way, rather than being blessed by doing it God's way. They brought the judgment of God upon themselves in this matter, Isaiah proclaims, first in the form of the Assyrians, and shortly thereafter the Babylonians are coming. They would come to Judah, they would destroy the capital city of Jerusalem. And they would destroy the temple. And they would lead what was left of Israel into exile. And such was going to be the end of their thoughts and their ways. But it was not the end of God's thoughts and God's ways. Israel claimed to believe in God. I believe they did. But not God's way. Despite what they had claimed, their thoughts were not God's thoughts, and their way was not God's way. You could say their ways, which were many, was not God's way. And the result was that all that they had worked for, all that they had strived to do in the name of God, came to nothing. Because they were unwilling to receive what God had planned and wanted to give them for nothing. Everlasting life through an everlasting covenant, His own steadfast love and sure love for David, to whom He had made a promise that a descendant from His own body would sit on His throne and rule forever and ever. A root and a shoot from the stump of Jesse, David's father, who would be established, who would establish his kingdom and rule forever. A Davidic Messiah. The Christ, Jesus, who would save his people from their sins. Whosoever believed in Him, God's way. What can be said of Israel then can still be said of us now. If we haven't believed in Christ, God's way, we haven't believed in Christ at all. In our passage this morning, God Himself, speaking through Isaiah, explains this way once again to Israel, as He has done so many times throughout the Scriptures. from Genesis up to this period in history, as they stand on the threshold of exile, for once again attempting to obtain his blessing by their own way. And listen to what God says to these wicked and unrighteous people. He says, come. Come. Everyone who thirsts, come. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, come. Buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy and never will? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast and sure love for David. Those are the words of God. An invite from God Almighty to wicked and unrighteous people. Come, everyone. Buy and eat without money and without price. It is not a mere handout, as many suppose. It's not a soup kitchen where something is simply given for free. If you look at the text, what is offered must be bought. God is indeed merciful, as the Catechism says, but he is also just. A price must be paid, but clearly not by those who are being called to come. Those who have no money. What God commands them to buy must be paid for by someone else. Those called must come to God on God's terms, not their own. They must come to him by his way, not their ways. They must stop spending their money for that which is not bread, and their labor for that which will never satisfy. You cannot come to God on those terms. You must come on his terms. In order to do that, they must listen. They must hear the words of God. They must hear, as the New Testament says, the words of Christ. They must listen diligently to him and come and eat what he says is good and delight themselves in what he calls rich food, good and rich food which they must purchase at another's expense. You see, there is an expense has been paid and imputed to them by which they come and buy these things. To the expense of another, imputed to them, they must come and purchase these things. Not with their own money, not with their own labors. They must come on God's terms, God's way, not their own. And as God has explained, this is his way. And there is no other way. It is the way. The only way. Those who are called must incline their ears and they must come to him. They must stop spending their own money and labors for that which will never satisfy and come to him and hear and receive from him without money, without their own money, and without price, that which can satisfy. That their souls may live. They must seek the Lord while he may be found. They must call upon him while he is near. And they must forsake their way and their thoughts and return to the Lord, return to their God, their Yahweh Elohim, Almighty, that he may have compassion on them and pardon their sins and make with them an everlasting covenant, his steadfast and sure love for David, and make a witness out of them, just as he did David, as one after his own heart, God's own heart, after God's thoughts and God's ways, the salt and light of the world, you understand, who will also call out to the nations, come, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, come to him who has no money, come buy and eat. The same call which God gives. The same call which everyone who has come to God on his terms is equipped to speak to the nations. The ones to whom the nations will run, says God. Because, not because of them, not because of the way they do it, but because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified you, that you might glorify him, his way, not yours, not ours, not according to our thoughts and our ways, but according to his thoughts and his way. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. The gulf between a holy God and a sinful men and women cannot be bridged in any other way. It's impossible. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth sprout, giving seed and so are bread to the eater, so shall my word that goes from my mouth. And this is the only way this works, you understand. So shall the word that goes out of my mouth, it shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it, from heaven to earth. The word that comes from his mouth, the word that was in the beginning with God, you understand, was God, the word that became flesh and dwelt among us with glory of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Messiah that Israel longed for. The Son of David, the Son of Man, the Son of God. Christ Jesus, the pinnacle witness of God to the world, to all nations. Very God of very God, who still calls to all nations with the same message. Come. Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which will never satisfy? Listen diligently to me. Eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant. My steadfast love. My sure love for David. The same gospel that we preach today. Exactly. A sovereign and good God who desires to be found, desires to show compassion, desires to pardon sin. By sending his word, his only son, into the world, has made a way. The way. There is no other. And he has done it not by our ways, nor by our thoughts, but by his thoughts and his way. And the resurrection affirms this truth, that his purpose was accomplished, and that Jesus Christ succeeded in the very thing for which his Father sent him to do. This is God's way. These were God's thoughts all along, even from before the foundations of the world. They haven't changed. His way hasn't changed. The gospel hasn't changed. What he purposed, he accomplished. What he sent his word to do was done. Once and for all. As the resurrection testifies. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him. Let him return to our God. Almighty God, Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. For his thoughts, my thoughts, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So let us learn from the lesson of Israel. Let's learn from the lesson of all the scriptures. If we're going to seek God, we must seek him his way, not ours. We must learn to think his thoughts, not ours. And if we are to believe in him, we must believe his way, not ours. And if we haven't done that, then it is not Christ, it is not God that we believe in. It is a figment of our own imaginations that we deceive ourselves into thinking that we can find and seek and do in our own thoughts and in our own ways. And so, if that is where we are, we hear his word today, we hear the gospel, let us repent. This is really what this passage is talking about, you understand, is conversion. Conversion that has two parts within it, as the theologians would tell us. Faith and repentance. Faith and repentance, where we desire God, we turn to God and we repent of doing things our way and we start doing things His way. And both of those gifts from God that you must pray for, you must desire, you must ask for. For you're saved. If you are saved, you are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of your own doing. And we return to the passage of the book of Timothy here shortly. We will see that even repentance is a gift from God. If you seek, desire these things, come to God on His terms, not your own. This is God's call to everyone, every wicked sinner and unrighteous person. This God says, come. And you can trust His word. It is sure. It has been done. Our Lord Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, just as He promised. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, You know our hearts so well. You know our fallen condition so well. Lord, you knew it even before the foundations of the world, when You planned our very redemption. Between Your Son, You sending Him, counting it a joy to come, to do this Your way, not His own. And Lord, that is what He did, even to the point of death upon a cross. He did it Your way, as a witness to all who would believe in Him. And Lord, we thank You so much for His service and His sacrifice, His work, His atonement. And we thank You that He, who is perfect and does Your way perfect, now fulfills these very things for us and in us. That He, even sinners that we are, now glorifies us, that we might also call to the nations, that they might hear of You and come running. Lord, we thank You for all of this, of which we did not deserve, which we even now don't deserve, which we even now marvel that it's even been done. That is because we are thinking our way and not Yours. If we read Your scriptures, we will know Your way. We will know of Your steadfast love and Your everlasting covenant. We will know how much You desire to save Your people and what all that You have gone through to make a way. Father, Your thoughts are there for us in the scriptures. Help us come. Help us listen. We pray. For Your glory and for the joy of Your church, all of Your church. In Jesus' name, amen.